Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. The voice of the veteran is for the veterans on 106.5 FM. Firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton. Co-host Cal is off playing Hollywood as usual. And we are both veterans of the United States Marine Corps. And welcome to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. We have an outstanding show for you tonight, but first we want to thank some of our sponsors that help make this show possible. And we'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama, Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. But we'd like to also say that without our sponsors, and our great listeners, we cannot do this without you. Remember that this show is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So join us in the discussion. And you can always check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at 106.5 FM. And we have a packed show for you tonight. So check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. We may have a tirade. We may not. I kind of fly from the hip. And it has to do with how much information I can receive and get out of this young lady that's with me here tonight. But first, we're joined by a very special guest, our guest co-host tonight on SBN, Miss Kelly Finley, the most intelligent and articulate host of Mobile Mornings here on 106.5 FM. And she's probably got the best looking award as well. And she is no stranger to the military life. Kelly, thank you for sharing this scuttlebutt seat tonight and being here to bring all of our veterans and the people in the different branches of service up to date on a very important phase of the military that we're not even familiar with.
Oh, Tom, it's truly my honor. And I have to tell you, I get to work in the morning on Mobile Mornings with
two ugly guys.
No, you better stop. Those are my teammates. I love them.
Oh, that's your teammate.
Those are my teammates, and we have a great time. But I do appreciate you extending the offer for me to come on and chat about the family side of the house, because as we know, if our men and women who are forward, if they can't concentrate, then what's happening at home is impacted in more ways than one.
Well, that's so true. And a lot of people, if they haven't been there, they don't understand that.
That's right. That's right. So this evening, I get to share with you my time as a family readiness officer, the first civilian hired in the United
States. Now, I've heard of bro, but you are fro?
I'm a fro.
Okay.
Family
F-R-O.
Readiness
F-R-O.
Officer. That's right.
I had to ask her what that was. You see, guys, she's a little bit more current in the current military than I was, because when the horse and buggies that we had back there, when we wasn't marching in our bare feet, we didn't have all these programs that she's going to talk to you about tonight. But I think it's going to be extremely interesting.
But that's exactly why that role had to be implemented, because what happened was the commandant realized that the retention numbers were going down and the divorce rates were going up.
Unbelievable.
And
yes.
As we know, in the past, this was a COLAT duty. So a Marine who had his or her regular job had to do four other jobs and, oh, by the way, take care of the families. Well,
right.
We know what's first to go.
Right.
And, you know, and if that Marine is forward and then the spouse is back, you know, in CONUS, who's helping them?
Right.
And so that spouse who maybe has zero family near them, they're turning to things. Maybe it's alcohol. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's gambling. I mean,
sure.
There's all types of addictions that can happen. And, oh, by the way, there's children who now are missing not one but two parents.
Right.
So the need was there. And I'm excited to share with you resources. And also, I've invited one of my fellow Fros to join us as well to share her side of the house because she was with the MAG side. I was with MWSG 37. So, you know, my troops were more from on the ground, per se, and my squadrons, because I had four squadrons, and they were in 29 Palms, in Yuma, in Camp Pendleton, as well as Miramar, which was where I was stationed.
That is unbelievable. to even know that we have such a thing out there. But on the one hand, I appreciate the service recognizing the severeness mm-hmm. of the problem, but then I also recognize the job that was handed to you, froze.
That's right.
Then it's unbelievable what you probably had to put up with. Or see.
And quite honestly, because what you realize is that there are some Marines and sailors who didn't want their spouse to be in the know.
Right.
So the pushback that some of us received, I didn't anticipate.
Right.
Because, I mean, why would you not want your spouse to know all the resources that are available to him or her?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you want your children to have these resources and these opportunities? Why would you not want them in the know? I didn't understand that. And so there were some, I mean, it wasn't all roses, you
right.
know, from the beginning. You know, when we kicked off, I mean, my Marines deployed a month later. I started this job and they were gone. And so I had to brief my commander, my full bird colonel, Colonel Daniel Elzey. I had to brief him via VTC. Okay. So they were forward. And so we had to just picture think of FaceTime times 10. So this big screen in our meeting room and all of the Marines, you know, all the heads of each section, their squadrons, were in there. And they were giving updates, and then Colonel Elzey said, "All right, the Fro is going to brief." And a couple of the Marines who didn't get a chance to meet me before they deployed, they leaned in like, "Who is this person?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
how does she get the opportunity to tell us about what's happening in our world? Who does she think she
right.
is?"
Right. Yeah.
And most were very,
in
you know.
Fact, the main fact was that you weren't a Marine.
That's right. And many of them, you know, we're all big boys and girls. We understand that there was life before. So I was married before. And so some of them wanted to attach me just to being the wife of.
Right.
But if you've met me, you understand I stand on my own.
Oh,
and
yes.
and
we know that.
And now with, you know, with my husband, you know, we complement each other, but make no mistake, we're our own separate
sure
being.
Sure you are.
You know,
and this day and time, we have to be careful.
You have to be, no matter if you're the man or the woman.
Right.
So I'm not trying to get into that conversation, but I just had to put that out there. And so there were some Marines, some sailors who had a problem.
Well, you were caught flack from both sides.
Oh, without a doubt. And then some of the wives.
Oh, yes.
Some of the wives.
Some of the wives probably didn't want to know what you were trying to tell them.
That's true. And some of the wives didn't want you in a situation where you knew something before they did.
Uh-oh.
Because is it possible that you're withholding something?
Mm-hmm.
But it was my pleasure to earn their respect.
That's neat.
Because it's not given. It's
right.
earned.
That's right.
To earn it, to let them understand that I'm not here to hurt you. Ironically, you know, I worked for the Marine Corps Monday through Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday I did TV. So, so I stayed a little busy.
7 day a week.
That's what you have to do. But
yeah.
I know throughout this hour, I'll get a chance to give you some of the resources that will assist not only the service member and the spouse, but also how your extended family can stay in touch, the different tools that have been implemented so that you get to, as the active duty service member, you get to share with information with whomever you see fit and the way in which you see fit. Because what you tell your wife, you're not going to tell your mom, or maybe vice versa.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? So I'm excited.
Yeah, sometimes those chains of communications don't go both ways.
Oh, my goodness.
And sometimes they don't go anywhere.
You're right. And so that being the liaison, because that's the Fro,
right.
you're the liaison between your full bird colonel and then I had a deputy Fro, and then also you have your squadrons. So at each of my squadrons had a Fro. And we had our own meeting. Sometimes I would fly there because obviously it's another state. And sometimes I'd drive there and to let them know that they have the support, because I reported up to the wing because I was at the group level.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just a lot of training, mental training.
Sure.
But it was so worth it to be able to be the voice of my men and women who proudly wore that uniform was beyond an honor.
Well, that's one of the reasons that Cal and I wanted to bring you onto the show, is the fact that we continue to sit here and talk about veterans. And most of the time we wind up talking about our veterans that are out of service and maybe trying to get VA help and what have you. But we don't want to forget our new vets that are out there fighting for us today and their families and all backing them. But we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back here with Miss Kelly Finley.
Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun. Here they come, zooming to meet our thunder. Adam, boys, give her the gun. Down we die, spouting a flame from under. Off with one.
Check your bunker break off. Check your trim set. Check your nozzle steering arm maneuver. Dive and there I go. A low transition. Right turn out. 86. Dive and out there on 16. Let's run them up.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots right around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight, and you can catch us on the TuneIn app on your phone so you can listen to the show, or you can check us out on Facebook, and you can also follow Cal on Twitter at Cal_SBN. And again, it's a privilege to be joined in the Scuttlebutt jump seat by Miss Kelly Finley. Kelly?
Good.
Thank you for
evening.
Being here, and it was
Thank
very
you.
Informative a while ago, but we have one of your special guests on board.
Yes. So, you know, the FRO, we've explained, is a family readiness officer, and so I was with MWSG 37, and so when I found out I was able to come on this evening, I said, let me reach out to one of my fellow FROs. And so on the phone now, joining us from California, she was the MAG 11 FRO. Her call sign, Hurricane.
Hurricane.
Hurricane. Ooh. We can appreciate that here.
We appreciate that on the Gulf Coast.
Katrina Fesso joining us now. Good evening, fellow FRO.
Good evening, everybody. How are you?
Oh, it's so great to talk to you and just bring in the knowledge, you know, from the family side of the house, because I know we were the first FROs to do what we did as civilians. And we learned really each day from each other and from our families and from our Marines and sailors. But, you know, you made quite an impact, Katrina, when it came to a very serious matter. First, tell us about the group you were with, and then tell us how you seriously and literally were helping to save lives when we deal with the term of suicide.
Yeah, so that intro that I got to listen to is very familiar to me. So Marine Aircraft Group 11 is the F-18 and KC-130s, and then we had absorbed in MWSS. Once the group had stood down, so all that airplane, all that stuff, that was music to my ears right there. So I was with them for quite some time, and we got to be able to have a different perspective and a different voice in the room. So what I would talk about is I would listen to all my Marines and my department head counterparts talk about the machine, and I would be able to speak up and say, that's great, but here's where the man is going to derail it. And, you know, that old saying, if mom ain't happy, nobody's happy.
That's right.
one thing that we found out, we had a pretty serious issue when it came to suicides and ideations. And what's nice about Marine Aircraft Group 11 is that it was a nice testing ground for theories. So at that time, the thought was it was people upset or coming back from combat or something combat-related. With 9/11, we had VMFAT, which was the training squadron, and they didn't deploy. We had our F-18s, who deployed as a whole. My C-130s and my MALs, they deployed piecemeal. So we're seeing some of these things across the entire MAG. And the chaplain and I were tasked by our commanding officer to see, do a dive deep. What's going on here? And again, we both went into it thinking it was combat related.
And Katrina, speak up a little bit more for me, because this is vital information, and we have our ears, pushed to the microphone. Tell us more.
Okay, sorry about that. So we were tasked, the chaplain and I were tasked just to look across and see what information we can get, do some research. And what it came back to, it was not combat related, the issues that we were seeing. It was the failure of relationships. It came back to that thing that, every love song and every country song was ever written about. It's just a failure of relationship. And that extends to some of our Marines who were being discharged for administrative reasons, because they were losing the relationship of the family that they had built with the Marine Corps. And so to address that, we looked around and saw what programming there could be used to help educate these younger folks who were getting into their first marriage, who were getting into some of these relationships. And we realized there really wasn't anything proactively. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of stuff once you're already married, once you're already committed, that they could jump into. So the chaplain and I, we formed our own program, and we called it P.S. Before You Say I Do. It talked about marriage preparation. It talked about the resources. It talked about the cost of divorce. It really addressed a lot of the issues that people really weren't thinking about.
Katrina, hold that thought. We're going to go to break. We're having some issues audio-wise. Hold that thought. We're going to bring quick commercial break, come back with you, and continue this vital conversation, which so many people need to hear, whether you're in uniform or not. We'll be right back with Scuttlebutt Network next.
This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. My rifle is my best friend. It is my life.
I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
All right. Welcome back. This is Kelly Finley filling in this evening.
I'm going to the back, and I'm going to sit in Sean's office and prop my damn feet up on the table and let her go.
All right. So if you're just tuning in, or maybe you have been hanging on, we have been blessed to have Katrina Fessel on the phone. She is and was a MAG-11 family readiness officer. We served together as FROs. And what she was doing was she was describing, what she did as a family readiness officer in coordination with her chaplain when it came to really finding out the best way to assist our Marines and sailors and families in need. All right, Katrina, if you could please continue on.
Yeah, and so I was talking about the PS Before You Say I Do class, and what it did was it really started a communication dialogue between these couples, and communication is the single most important thing that, anyone, it doesn't matter who you are, as a human, to communicate. And in these relationships, we found the chaplain would be approached, I would be approached by individuals who would come to this class and say, we were going to hurry up and get married before the deployment, but we decided, let's get through a deployment as a couple first, and then we'll see afterwards where we are. It really gave people things to talk about. And that was what was great about being the FRO, because we could identify programming in the life skills section mm-hmm. that the Marines and sailors really could benefit from, and then their loved ones. And that's the other big aspect, is that we had a lot of our service members trying to keep their work life separate from their home life. And when you're in the military, you can't do that. There is no separation.
That's right.
Because your work life is your home life, because your family is part and parcel to everything that you're a part of.
And I think it's
important to also add, as family readiness officers, we did not talk about a program or present a program to our family members or to our service members without going through it ourselves. Correct. And so we were able to bond as froze and lean on each other and say, hey, how did this work for you? Or how was your first family day? You know, because being there for the homecomings, yes, but also the deployments. I was in the, labor and delivery room with a wife, and I was there videotaping with her husband on the phone as she had their baby. I mean, so we had such a dynamic access to these families. And I know I speak for myself, and I'm sure, Katrina, you'll say the same. I mean, it was a privilege.
It was absolutely a privilege, 100%. And to be able to give that perspective from the, hey, you know, this is what I'm hearing, this is what I've experienced, and to be accepted into the commands and have our voices be heard, as a respected member of that table, that was huge. And that was, again, with the program like the PS Before You Say I Do, the commanders jumped on board and said, this is mandatory. You need to go to this, because they saw the value in it. Other great things that we did on the other side, you know, once, not just wives and husbands, but also parents.
Yes.
We had a lot of single Marines who their parents just didn't really understand, mm-hmm. because they were the first to go off and to do these things, and they only knew what they saw on CNN.
And many of our active duty, you know, military, they didn't want their parents to know, because they didn't know. They weren't sure. They didn't want to scare the, you know what out of them, that they wanted to make sure, they wanted to get their footing, so to speak, before their family members knew what was going on. I know during my time there, we had the MCT, where it was a tool that allowed the service member, they had a number of contacts in which they could put down as to who they wanted to be reached in certain times of need. And they could pick whether it's a text, an email, a phone call, landline, and it allowed Marines, I know for me, they were able to tell their wife one message, but their mom a different message, or maybe their children. And because you find out that sometimes people don't have a filter, and the wrong person is being told the wrong thing, and goodbye OPSEC.
Exactly. And then also, you know, not everybody comes from the perfect background, and so we were also be able to filter and protect that if somebody called and tried to ask for information.
That's right.
Like a parent that, you know, they may have been estranged from. We were kind of the guardians with that. But with a lot of the communication and understanding, we would host things like the Jane Wayne Day. And my Jane Wayne Day grew so big, and it was so amazing. We were able to put them in an F-18 flight simulator. We were able to do some MCMAT training with them. We took them to the rifle range. We took them to the gas chamber. We didn't gas them as much as my Marine sometimes begged me, please gas my wife. We could not gas them. We let them experience what it is to walk around in their boots for a day. So whenever they said, hey, I got chamber quals this weekend, or I got chamber quals on Monday, but I have to go to the rifle next week, like, they understood, and they were speaking the same language.
Amen.
Because I can say the word boot, and this is something I did in PS Before You Say I Do. I'd have a couple up there, and I'd say, boot, and the wife would draw a shoe, and the Marine would draw, like, a Lance Corporal chevron, or draw a First Lieutenant chevron. Like, even something as simple as that, they're mm-hmm. not talking the same language. That's where...
Understanding the jargon, understanding the different languages, sometimes of love and sometimes of not. And I mean, the word TMO, that means mm-hmm. something to a military family. I remember a Marine going forward. His wife had 3 children. She wasn't even 20. She didn't know where the pediatrician was. She didn't know where the PX was. She didn't know where's the commissary, how to find base housing. You know, and my job, because I always said we were like the concierge mm-hmm. of the Marine Corps, of the military. And so we were that one-stop shopping. And to be able to walk this young, you know, spouse, you know, through her journey and help her. And then when her Marine came home and giving a hug and saying, thank you for easing my wife, because... You know, she wasn't, you know, alarming his CO or his XO as to what was going on the home front, because the FRO had it covered.
Exactly. And the thing is that the more that we were able to be there for them, the more understanding that they had, and the more at ease, because we were able to be that conduit of appropriate information.
That's right.
And we were able to leverage a lot of those connections, working with our volunteers to assist us, because we were one people, departments.
That's right.
And being able to fold in what had previously been the key volunteers into this new program, a lot of people said, thank goodness, now I can actually have my own life back. Or, you know what, I want to volunteer, but you know what, all that heavy lifting, you got it, Fro.
And the Fro could be the voice that the Marine or the sailor or the family couldn't be, because, you know, your active duty members, they can't ask for things. But because we were so well connected out in the civilian world, we knew, like, I remember having, you know, my Marines coming home and a number of families that came from out of state, not only did they not know where to stay, but they were tight. I mean, funds were tight. And so I was able to reach out to different hotels and say, listen, because I could fro-arm them, as I would say, instead of strong-arm them. But I'm like, hey, you know what? These men and women, they're serving our country. They went forward. They chose to do this. They signed on the dotted line. You mean to tell me you can't give them a discount or some sort of freebie? And they didn't know that there was a need, but once they knew that there was a need, they never said no, and they always connected us to somebody else who could help for the future. And it was, it would choke you up to understand that these men and women, they don't even know all the resources that are out there and how many people want to help, but they don't know how to connect the two. And so that we were that nucleus, it was something that had changed my life as a mother and, you know, and as an employee. And I know Military OneSource was one of our favorite tools. Katrina, explain to everybody what Military OneSource meant to your families.
So Military OneSource, it was the place that they could go 24/7 for a variety of different things that they needed. You know, do you need assistance with trying to find an appropriate place at your next duty station? They had the resources. Do you need counseling over the phone? They had a resource. Do you need something just to get you through an emergency resource for whatever you were experiencing? There really wasn't anything that our families asked for that they didn't have an answer to. And it was an online portal. It was a telephone portal. It was accessible all the time.
24/7. Here's a number, 1-800-342-9647. 1-800-342-9647. MilitaryOneSource.mil. It is such a vital resource to have in your arsenal, whether you're a mom, a dad, a kid, the active duty service member. Because I know, again, when I was the Fro, the people that were on the other end of that phone call or at the other end of that email, they had to have at least a master's degree or above. So, I mean, you're getting top-notch assistance free of charge. Free.
Exactly. And they're also proponents with the MyCAA. So the big challenge when you're a military spouse, you have to pick up and move. So you can't necessarily establish a career. So with MyCAA, it's now, I believe, for E5 and below. But you can get money to establish a portable career, to get the training that you need, or to help you with certifications if you're going from California to Florida and you don't have a certain certification that you need to work. That's a huge burden. So they're pretty instrumental in those sorts of resources as well.
Oh, my goodness. We have so much that we could share with everyone, but thank you so much. You are in California. I know you are now working for the Navy. You're a proud mommy. And just from Fro to Fro, thank you for joining us. We so appreciate you. And we're going to have you on again.
Oh, absolutely. I'm out here with Naval Facilities Engineering Command. I'm trying to reduce our vacancy rate, so I have tons of jobs for everybody. So, yeah, that's still helping people because that's where my heart is.
Once a Fro, always a Fro. Semper Fi, my sister.
Semper Fi.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And, Tom, you're back at it?
I finally got back in here. I just been back in there with my feet propped up. You know, us old vets, we have no idea that this is going on, even as important as it is for the need.
That's right.
I had no idea that it was even out there or available. God bless you guys and what y'all did and what
Thank
you're still
you.
Doing.
Thank you so much. That means so much. And it's an honor and a joy. Once again, just for those who are tuning in, 1-800-342-9647. That's the MilitaryOneSource.mil. That's the phone number. I'll tweet that out. I'm on social media. And thank you again to Katrina for joining us.
Amen.
Such a blessing.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And we're back here on the Scuttlebutt Network. But we just had the extremely talented lady. She, I just told her that I'm going to give up my seat, let her be coming here and be co-host, because she knows more about the darn veterans and the Marine Corps and all than I do. But it's just nice to have her on board here with us. But now it's a pleasure to be back here with a gentleman that I know very well, and Mr. Carlos Finley. And there's so many things that I want to talk to you about. Number one, I know that you're running for office, and we accept that. If you'll give us a brief on that, then we'll talk about some of the things that's going on, like the monies that you don't have to run the courts.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, indeed.
And then we'll see how much time that takes us, and then we'll go from there with it.
Very good. Well, it's great to be here with Scuttlebutt Network this evening. As a veteran, it's always a pleasure to be in the company of veterans. And yes, I am running for circuit judge, Mobile County. I'm currently a Mobile Municipal Court judge.
Right, you are currently
for the
judge.
City of Mobile.
Right.
And the campaign's going well. We'll find out who our opponent is next week after the runoff.
And then we're
we'll
going to find that out right
forward.
Quick.
That's right. Next Tuesday. Get out and vote, everybody. Even though I'm not on the ballot, I want everyone to exercise their God-given right to vote here in the United States of America.
That's what keeps this world going around, is we have to get out and get up our vote and vote for the person that we want, and quit standing around running our jaw about who did what, and go vote for the person that you, you know, feel confident in, and make that vote work. Back to this job that you currently have, I had the occasion to talk to some of your friends here at a place where we, you know, we all get together and drink coffee and sometimes and eat. And they
I know that
really,
place well.
And yes, you do. But they were really expressing, the judges and all that were there, was expressing the problem that we're having. And I've seen some of it come out in the press recently. And you guys don't have the money to actually do what you're supposed to be doing.
The court system is strapped. Whether it be for lack of the appropriated funds,
right,
or for the lack of the decisions being made as to where to spend the money.
Right.
Because as most people should know by now, the court system does not get 100% of the court cost. Those go into the general fund budget, reallocated.
Wait a minute now. We don't get all of that money?
The court system does not get all of that money.
So it goes to the general fund.
That is correct.
And then, so why can't the general fund come back and properly furnish the amount of money that we're needed to develop the revenue that they're getting?
Well, as per the Constitution of the state of Alabama, they are supposed to. There is a duty to fund the court system. But that's legislators' decisions, and the Alabama Office of Courts ultimately make that decision. So it depends upon your state representative. So once again, you know, as a citizen of the state of Alabama, it's incumbent upon you to speak to your representative and let them know,
right,
that, hey, we need our court systems funded, because there's a right to speedy trial and other rights that will be impacted as a result of the court system not being adequately funded. No question.
They already are. You've been strapped with in your face of your judgeship.
Well, the clerk's office is closed on Wednesdays.
Mm-mm.
Right now.
Okay.
So the clerk's offices are not operating to the public. The clerks are still there and they're doing work, but they're not open to the public on Wednesdays.
So y'all closed, it's working just 4 days a week for the public?
That's correct. For the public to come in.
Okay.
We're certainly always working for the public.
Okay.
But the public has no access.
So you're
to
shutting
the
shutting the public out.
That's correct. And with
And that has this, to do with funds.
It does. And this next round of funding may have to eliminate even more court clerks, especially in the judge's office.
Well, does this funnel all the way down to like the tag office and the tax revenue office and things like that too? I see they're on a 4-day week.
The court system is completely separate. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But those guys are doing it because they figured out a better way.
I'm not certain. That would have to be asked to the license commissioner and
the
revenue commissioner.
And the public.
We're staying in our lane.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just unbelievable that we would develop the amount of revenue that we do in our court systems and the fact that we're so backlogged now with cases that we could develop a lot more revenue if we had the funds to develop the revenue with.
It's what we call a renvoi in our work, which is kind of like a circle. One thing leads to another, which leads back to that beginning and so forth and so on. And it's a continuing cycle of dysfunction, quite frankly.
The country boy says it's like, turn the faucet off, but we need more water.
Yeah, that's
turn
what this country boy would
off,
say,
but we
too.
Need more water, mm-hmm. Come mm-hmm. on.
That's right.
And that's basically where it's at.
It is. But the bottom line is that we're going to need additional funding for our court systems because what's going to happen is it's going to really begin to affect the criminal justice system. It already is, but it's going to seriously
affect
the criminal justice system.
But it's just totally unbelievable that phase of it is going on. And I had highlighted one of the other problems that has really just popped up here in the news here lately, and that is homeless kids.
Yeah.
We talk about homeless people. Now, I've been told, and we've been told here on this show on numerous occasions, that we have zero vets that are homeless in Mobile, Alabama. Well, I don't personally believe that.
I would beg to differ with that statement. As a former member of 15 Place Homeless Services Center, as a former member of Housing First, I know for a fact that there are homeless vets out there, and these are people who have served our country, who have signed on the dotted line, raised their right hand, gone off and defended this country, and now they don't have services for whatever reason. There may be mental health issues, there may be other issues, but we owe it to those men and women to give them assistance.
Sure they do.
And there are many homeless vets, there are homeless children, there are homeless families. There's a organization called Family Promise that's designed to house homeless families so that those families can stay together. Because we have Salvation Army, which handles homeless men's. We have Dakimi Place, which handles homeless women. And, of course, Department of Human Resources will take in children who are homeless. But there's Family Promise is the only organization that houses families and keeps them together.
You know what's funny? I had heard this on TV in the last couple of days, and they were talking about all these kids that are homeless, like 4,000. I believe Volunteers America made that statement, that there was 4,000 kids that are homeless in the Mobile area, and they're trying to get backpacks and school items and all for them over there. And I thought, I'm going to get on the internet here and research it. So I just put on there, homeless kids in Mobile, Alabama. Nothing came up. Can you believe we get on the internet and nothing about homeless kids would crop up? Now, they give us like four or five places, like Salvation Army and some, but those are all adult facilities.
That's true. And the issue, quite frankly, Tom, is that this is something that's it has a shame attached to it. So you have people who don't report.
Oh,
so you
yes.
don't have the data
right.
to support those things, although we know that they're out there. And of course, as a former juvenile prosecutor, I've seen them come up in the system. Families who are living out of a car, kids who don't have anywhere to go.
Right.
I've had people to ask me to stay in jail so that they would have a place to stay and something to eat.
What?
That's correct.
But, a lot of us out here own the streets and own the buildings on the streets think that that's what most of them do now is they get out there and do a petty crime or get drunk and cause a ruckus and get put in jail so that they could be in there 2 or 3 days and eat and sleep and have a place to lay their head.
Well, I wouldn't say that that's not the case in some instances. I wouldn't say that that's a rule, but right. I mean, when we talk about situations such as this, there are all matters of people who take advantage of
sure.
whatever. But what
sure.
what a sad statement it is to make on our society that people would rather go to jail just so that they
right.
can have
a place to sleep.
And something to eat.
Yeah, something to eat. Mm-hmm. And that's just totally wrong.
Totally and completely.
That's totally and completely wrong. Well, Charlie, how much time have we got over there? You hadn't got close to 3 minutes yet? All right. But that area is just unbelievable about what we're really doing. The other thing is you are a member of a lot of committees and a lot of organizations in this town. And I know that you guys have been working on the program out there. In the Plateau area, are we going to find that ship?
I hope so.
Yeah.
But I can't say that we are. The search is going to resume. The thing is that there are so many ships up in
yeah,
that delta.
I believe they are.
I mean, we're talking about a seaport town of well
right.
over 300
oh, yeah.
years.
Right.
So there's a lot of ships sunk in the mud up there.
Yeah.
And to find that particular ship, the Clotilda, is somewhat like searching for the proverbial needle in the haystack.
I was extremely pleased, though, to realize that they had enough information about that vessel that they just didn't arbitrarily take any vessel that they found and say, oh, this is it. This is the one. You know, this is the one we've been looking for. Well, it wasn't, you know.
That's
it wasn't,
correct.
It wasn't the right size. It didn't have the right building materials and all in it. And I guess that the time and periods that all that occurred had to do with the type of materials that vessel would have been built with.
There are a myriad of factors that they're taking into account, but the beauty is that they do have the specs for the
right.
Clotilda.
That's awesome.
And so unless a ship directly lines up with those specifications, then we won't have it.
Well, we don't want to go off in a tangent and go the wrong way and do something wrong with it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that is – most awesome about this entire thing is that it's brought the world to Mobile, Alabama.
Amen. Yes.
We've got National Geographic
yes.
has come here. The Alabama Historic Commission is here. National Park Services are here. And that's all positive.
Right.
And, you know, it just goes to show that even something, you know, horrible that happened in history
sure.
can bring about something positive. And the unique history that we have here of our city is an amazing thing. It's like none other city on the planet, quite frankly.
Right.
And we're one of the oldest cities in the United States of America at well over 300 years. So, you know, we've got a lot of information that we can get out there. There's a lot of great things that have happened in this community, and I'm looking forward to spreading that far and wide.
Aren't there a couple of historical societies that are actually available here in the Mobile area to take some tours for that we as the public aren't even aware of?
It's quite possible. Certainly the Dora Franklin Finley African American Heritage Trail tours daily, and it's very easy to go on our website at dffaaht.org.
Do that again.
And I'll slow that down.
Do that again. For that lady that was just on here in front of you.
dffaaht.org.
She was putting out all those FROs and the MAGs and the what have yous, and I'm going like, we didn't talk like that when I was in the Marine Corps.
Well, you know, you were of one generation, I was of another generation,
right.
and she was of yet a third generation.
Yes. But you know what? It's just so neat to know that the services are doing what they're doing, and this lady has the knowledge to bring that forth to us here on the Scuttlebutt Network. And she will grace that chair again.
I have a feeling that she will as well. And you know, Tom, only there are certain things that only veterans can identify with, because at an early age, we get to lead other people. And that's something that you just don't get
oh, yeah.
from college.
We don't. You know, it's kind of like the old saying is, I don't have a PhD, but I've got an ED 214.
There you go.
You know what I mean? And somebody was asking me the other day, said, how in the world did you get so far along in being a manager and all in the trucking lines and the stuff that you did? And I said, well, I said, when I was 19 years old, I said I had about 15 troops that I was taking care of running a supply depot.
That's exactly right.
You know?
Yes.
And I said,
yes.
So, you know, when I came out 2 or 3 years later, what's 30? you know?
Right.
That wasn't anything to me.
We become leaders of men and women.
And in 6 years, there was 500.
That's right. And you're expected to do that.
Yeah, so what? You know, come on, get you a dose of this.
That's right. That's right.
I'm going to tell you how to do it, though. But, you know, I would personally, and some people might disagree with this, I think all our young men should go into service for a couple of years. And see,
and women too.
And oh, I didn't know where to say that or not.
Well, she said it before I was going
right.
to say it,
and the ladies too.
No question, at least 2 years.
Right,
at least 2 years.
Well, we grow up, you know, we grow up and we learn what the world's all about, and we get the heck away from home.
That's
and
right.
Get out from under the you know. The skirts and the
apron
strings and the belts and what have you.
And the suspender straps.
And the suspender straps and the lighter knots that you get upside right. your head if that's you don't right. do what's right. But and that's awesome. But it has been an extreme pleasure having you on board here with us tonight because we covered some territories that I don't think anybody wants to talk about. And you do, and you step out front and do it, and that's you know, that's one of the reasons I appreciate you and appreciate what you're running for.
I'm always welcome and glad to do it, and thank you very much for having me this
God
week.
Bless you, brother. I appreciate what you're doing. And this little lady that you know here.
Yes.
She's awesome.
She is awesome.
Very, very knowledgeable, and she just happens to be the public relations officer for P.O. Wilson Detachment, Marine Corps League. Now.
And an outfit that I'm very proud to be on.
And you're part of that group as well. God bless all of you. It's not like Cal would say it, but we've enjoyed it tonight. Taps are here. Hoorah.
Semper Par.